following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 103 for Thursday, August 4th, 2011. Give me a bite! And as you frantically type away on your keyboard, we will start this episode. Your new keyboard.
I'm frantically typing?
Sounded like it.
No, not really.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, this is Aaron.
And Rodney.
And we're here to do episode 103.
As we continue to try the trend of pronouncing our names.
It's difficult.
I know.
Considering, you have never really thought about it before, but we don't call each other by name that much.
No. We barely speak at all. That is why we do this podcast.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. It's the only reason we came up with the podcast, because
so
otherwise
could
we'd never speak to each other.
Mm.
Other than the occasional banter over Twitter, that's about it.
Yeah, which is disturbing when you're sitting about 2 feet from the other person and you tweet back and forth.
Yeah. It's easier. I can type faster than I can speak.
Hmm.
Southern drawl and all.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, we would like to thank some of our listeners for emailing us first as we start off. I'd like to thank Dan Eichmeyer for emailing us an explanation of how to download the voices in the new text-to-speech voices in Mac OS Lion. Apparently, you don't download them from the App Store. You run the Apple software update feature, and the voices come through as updates for, to the software, and you can download the ones that you wish.
Yeah, and apparently there is a way to... There's an article on our Delicious bookmarks that you can find at delicious.com/techaccess/103 that will actually describe how to do that.
Yeah.
If you are interested.
Yes, I think it's called something like Download Oodles of Text-to-Speech Voices for the Mac.
Yeah, apparently it's not really known that you can actually do that. And I've even heard a couple of other podcasts actually screw it up as well, just like we did.
Yeah, I know, because it's kind of confusing if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, thank you for the correction. I think that's all the email that we received this week.
Yeah, that's about it.
Except for a newsletter or two.
It's kind of pitiful. Just like the rest of the tech news for the week.
Very pitiful.
Not a whole lot going on.
Really pitiful.
Except we do have the excuse of we did not release our last podcast until Saturday because of the crazy, hectic, busy time.
And we took care to limit our story coverage to Wednesday.
That's true.
And this still is pretty pitiful.
I mean, there's some mainstream things going on, but it just not really that great. Mm. Mm. Kind of like the Airbnb thing where somebody rented out their house to someone and then they trashed it. That was a big thing in the mainstream tech world. But yawny yawn. One of those things I figure is just, it happens.
It happens. Should we start with the security-ish types of things?
Oh, yeah. Why not? There is a global cyber espionage issue going on called ShadyRat. Rat.
Remote access tool. Yes. Apparently, it has been stealing information from at least 70 different sources high up in the world, like governments and corporations.
Across 14 different countries. Over a five-year period, it stole government secrets, sensitive corp documents, and intellectual properties.
And it has affected the entire global economy.
So basically what this was is an article from McAfee, who is a... Or McAfee, whichever way you want
However
to say it.
However you want to say it.
Which provides security software to try and get them some publicity on their website.
Mm-hmm.
Big shock. Steve Gibson of Security Now said, why don't we just say that water is wet?
I mean, they didn't really give any details about who the people are, where the attack came from. You think this is made up?
I don't know. I mean... Well, it's one of those things where it's malware, it's installed on computers, it steals data. This is the year of the hack, so I mean, big whoop. It's not like it's really something surprising.
Yeah, McAfee makes out like it's going to, you know, totally dismember the whole world economy, and, you know, they want publicity, basically.
Yeah, I don't see it as much of a thing. In more important news, a new Android Trojan will actually record phone calls, and it's blatantly obvious that it does that.
Yeah, apparently this is a little piece of malware that can get on your Android device if you download apps from the Android marketplace.
Well, it actually sends you a message at some point.
It tries to, when it installs itself, it actually brings up a list of its features. And they say on there
says it will record calls and read phone stats.
Yes, and
saves data to to SD card. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and people installed it anyway, or probably will. They found this kind of, it was kind of done in a controlled testing environment. At least that's kind of way I felt with the article, that they found it, they looked at it, but they haven't seen it in the wild yet, so they're not really sure what it's going to do.
Yeah, and it kind of brings people into thinking that it is an actual Android system tool, because it calls itself the Android System Manager. So it's kind of interesting how
maybe it is.
It gets out there.
Yeah.
But it's one of those problems with Android. Things aren't vetted.
But allegedly the calls are being sent to a remote server someplace.
Yeah, they do actually get transmitted.
Ew.
Yeah.
I'm not buying an Android. I don't care what anybody says.
Hey, baby, I picked up the milk on the way home from work. You need any curlers?
No.
Okay, apparently there's been a scam over the Harry Potter books.
Yes, Pottermore is a new website coming out by J.K. Rowling that is going to have, among other things, ebook copies of the Harry Potter series. Now, granted, we bring this up because we know that a lot of visually impaired folks are crazy over their books. Granted, they've probably already stole the audiobook versions over the internet by BitTorrent.
Ha, ha, ha.
Anyway, there are people out there selling registrations for $100 on eBay. They're actually sending out download links via YouTube comments that will actually say, hey, you want to get into Pottermore? Come over here and we'll give out free registration codes. The folks at Pottermore are urging people to just be patient with the launch of the site in a month or so and not take candy from strangers. That's my word.
Interesting.
Words.
Yeah. I wonder what it'll actually... Gosh. Hope it doesn't take the whole whole internet down. As crazy as people are over Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah. Seeing as how people were up for hours on hours watching the new movie that came out.
Oh, I'm so glad it's out and over and done.
Yeah. And people said that there's a 3D version, which doesn't really have anything that tremendously 3D in it, other than a few little minor things that you could pretty much live without.
Probably, so yeah.
You can save your $20 and watch it in 2D for probably $7 or $8.
Yep. Speaking of money, there is a new Twitter scam out, or I don't know exactly how new it is.
The folks over at Sophos is warning of another Twitter threat that is sending out links claiming that they will help you earn money.
So Twitter accounts that are compromised are sending out these direct messages or mentions, you know, to certain random people. I guess the account will just do it if it's been, infected with this security thing, and it will tell the people that the links are going to, here's how I made $888 fast, or however much money. It seems to be random.
Yeah, and that it's an organization helping out single mothers and teens make thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it's really a malware site. Don't go there, folks.
Yeah,
and sign your life away.
Apparently you will get a link in your Twitter, and if you click that link, it could possibly hijack your Twitter account.
Whoops.
So number one thing with Twitter is you need to have a secure password. Try and make it letters, numbers, capital letters, strange characters. Good thing, rule of thumb is to try and make it at least over 10 characters, because it makes it more difficult to crack.
Yes.
So that's a good practice.
Now,
in a good practice, it has been 10 years since Windows XP hit the market, and it is finally dropping in market share to below 50%.
Gradually ceding ground to its more secure alternative, at least so Microsoft says, Windows 7.
Yeah, which currently has 28% of all operating systems, which that even includes Mac and Linux and all that. Granted, Windows XP has been patched and service packed over the years and is pretty substantial as far as security.
Yeah.
But you only have, what is it, like 900 more days or so
that something you can, like that.
Actually still use Windows
Well, it's XP. It's towards the end of 2013. Yeah. No, they stopped supporting it, but they're going to continue, I mean, you know, providing tech support for it, I guess, but they're going to continue to support it till the end of 2013 that I know of. Some businesses are saying that they're even going to continue using it in their corporations after 2014 rolls around, despite Microsoft's lack of improvements to it.
Yeah, and a lot of people claim that they haven't gone to Windows 7 because it's difficult to migrate because there's not a direct path. But you can look for the Google Easy Transfer option, which will actually back up all of your settings and things to an external drive.
You mean the Windows Easy Transfer option?
Microsoft Windows Easy
Transfer. You said Google.
I said Google?
Yeah.
Oh!
You said Google Easy Transfer.
Well, Microsoft, I was originally going to say you could Google looking for Microsoft's Easy Transfer for Windows, but who knows?
Okay.
So anyway, it's amusing because at work, they're finally starting to roll out Windows 7 to some people with new laptops and things, and they can't figure out how to do anything, which, I mean, it is a different environment, but
it's different, all right.
Once you learn that little search box is there, you can do pretty much anything.
That's a lifesaver.
That, and then people can't figure out how in the heck to turn off their sounds.
That is simple. Go into the search box and type system sounds.
Yeah, I sent that message to someone at work, and she said, oh, I know how to do that. I just haven't had time to. I said, it takes 2 seconds.
Pretty much, her
sounds were still going after two more days.
Oh my God!
So every time an email comes in, it's boom.
And they even have a feature to leave the startup sound going, but take all the other sounds off.
Yeah, and see, corporate policy is to turn off your sounds on your computer because it annoys people.
Well, hell, it would annoy me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm supposed to keep this clean.
Clean?
I said the H word.
Well, damn.
Okay.
In moving Apple right things, along, there is an update to the second gen Apple TV.
Yes, now you can download purchases from iTunes directly onto the TV and stream them as if you're streaming from Netflix or something.
Yeah, which I'm not really sure where it goes, seeing as how the Apple TV really doesn't have a lot of storage.
Well, that's what the article was saying. They were kind of unsure where the backups were going, unless they're just not being stored at all. One theory was
streaming directly from Apple.
Yeah, well, one theory was it would save a backup to your computer, but I don't think that always happens.
Yeah, maybe not. It was kind of sketchy because it just hit this past week.
Yeah.
They also found that there are links to Netflix, YouTube, Major League Baseball, NBA, and Vimeo apps. So apparently there is something coming probably in the next month or
something
so.
Something is coming.
Yeah. Exciting, isn't it?
Yes, just like the new iCloud beta is exciting.
Yes, that finally hit with developers being able to actually get a look at the new iCloud. It basically isn't no real shock because they disclosed all of that kind of stuff in their WWDC, but it did show what the prices for storage is going to be. 5 gigabytes will be free, 10 gigabytes for $20, 20 gigabytes for $40, 50 gigabytes for $100.
And MobileMe currently
is $100.
And $100 for only 20 gigs. Yeah. Pardon me.
So you can actually get a heck of a lot more storage. But with some of the free services out there, I don't know why you would really want that.
I don't either. I haven't seen anything that really attracts me to it.
Yeah. I think it will basically benefit people that are more in the Mac world.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in an Apple world and you have Apple products, you'll be more inclined to find it useful. Other thing that they're rumored to be coming up with is a replay option for TV and movies that you have purchased. So you'll actually be able to download previous purchases just like you're able to do music now. But that's
that would be handy.
Fully new. So,
yeah. Right. Another thing, if you have gotten religion and are in the Apple world,
praise be,
they are going to offer a free USB installation drive of the Lion operating system.
But don't get too excited.
Don't get too excited because it's very doubtful whether you'll ever get one.
Yeah, first of all, you have to have AppleCare. You have to have tried every possible means in order to install the Lion on your qualifying Mac or MacBook. You have to try the internet install. You have to have a second tier support staff member say that, well, we're stumped. You also have to have serial numbers, AppleCare, like I said, and they will actually consider giving you a free copy of Lion on a USB drive.
Now, consider.
It's not really a version of Lion. It is merely the restore partition that they're actually going to be putting on your Mac once you install it. So it's not like you actually get a easy to copy version of Lion.
You just get the restore.
You get the restore partition, which you can install from.
Sounds
wow. Exciting, doesn't it?
Exciting.
But that is a $69 value because, Lord knows, it cost $40 for a 4 gigabyte USB stick.
That's true.
Whereas if you go to Amazon, you could buy a 16 gig for that or less. Anyway,
AT&T is starting to throttle their largest data gobblers.
Yeah, they are going to start throttling the unlimited users. If you fit into the top 5% of data hogs, they released last year numbers saying that only 65% of users actually use less than 200 megs and 98% use less than 2 gigabytes. Probably because the price is either $15 or $25 for just 2 gigabytes. So
yeah.
That might so be that
upper 2%
much.
Is going to be throttled back that we know of. And I don't know how they choose between the people using 2 gigabytes. Maybe just statistically.
Well, it's carving people it that, up. Well, it's people that have their still have the unlimited data plans, where they are grandfathered in.
I see. Oh, okay.
Yeah, if they're using unlimited data, and they're up in the probably guesses like 5 gigs or more, you might end up actually having your service throttled until your next pay period. Which is Oops. Kind of a bummer, seeing as how you're paying for data and they don't want you to keep using it.
Right.
Now, last week we had mentioned a little bit of bad news for jailbreakers of the iPhone, where if you had jailbroken your iPhone, you would not be able to do over-the-air updates. Well, AT&T is going to, as early as August 11th, start kicking people off of their unlimited data plans if they jailbreak in order to run tethering apps.
My goodness.
Yeah, so if you're tethering your iPhone to your laptop or computer and you're not paying for it, you might get bumped. They're finding that folks that are paying for the 2 and 4 gigabyte tethering plans are easily going over that. And they're starting to investigate and find that they're jailbroken phones.
Whoops.
So you may lose your contract or just get charged a heck of a lot of money. It's not exactly clear as to what you're specifically going to do.
Other interesting survey results have come out about internet data usage.
Yeah, broadband users complain often about, I don't get the speeds that I'm looking for. Well, the FCC here in the U.S. did a survey of ISPs and found that 80% of ISPs are actually providing advertised speeds. So you're getting pretty much what you pay for. As far as prime time usage between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m., DSL customers get about 68% of what they expect, and cable users get a 92% accuracy. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, for our part, our service told us it was going to be increasing our speeds, and it definitely did.
Yes.
Wow.
When you get on up there, it kind of helps out with the uploads, especially.
Quite. Now, Google Plus has been around for a month. It's already got, like, what, 25 million users?
25 million users now.
Yeah.
Even though that it's sort of secretive and sort of a limited beta.
Yeah, and they are going to quickly abolish the concept of the private profile. So if in Google Plus your whole profile is private, down to your name even, they're going to, like, quietly
well, they're going to give you a wonderful message on yeah. your profile saying that, hey, in order to use Google Plus, you have to be public. So please do that or we're going to delete your profile.
Exactly.
So
now what this means is, before everyone freaks out, Google has this obsession with your real name. So your real name is the only thing that has to be public on your profile. Everything else can remain private or, you know, designated to whoever you want to see it. It can, you know, you can designate certain people to see certain parts of your profile if you want, but your real name has to be public. Everything else there isn't that restriction on.
Yeah, I guess their idea is that if you're using their service, it would help people find you and understand who you are if you actually have your real names.
Yeah, that's the theory anyway.
I mean, that's probably a little bit better than Facebook, where each user probably has two or three accounts just so that they can play Farmville.
Possibly. Possibly.
You know, I don't know. I don't get the obsession with the real name thing, but it does actually reduce the amount of spam and trolling for reactions if the person actually has a real name and
valid
an identity
point.
That you can track down.
Valid
so
point.
Maybe that's it.
Speaking of Facebook, they are now providing pregnancy alerts.
Why, yes, they're going to actually allow you to put in your due dates and possible names, that kind of thing, so that all of your friends and followers can know that you're pregnant and expecting.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
You can put father, mother, sibling names, all that sort of thing, and provide updates.
Oh. What were you thinking?
Okay, here's one that is kind of interesting in terms of technology. And I can't, after thinking about this, it's one of those things that you kind of go, yeah, why didn't I think that that would probably come at some point? Researchers at Clemson University have come up with the bike counter. It's a watch-like device that is going to actually count your bites.
The bites of food that you take into your mouth.
Or at least your arm movements going to your mouth.
So it monitors your wrist movement, theory is, wrist and arm movement.
And supposedly it is about 90% accurate.
So I guess this is a new way to be healthy? It counts the number of bites of things you're eating and tells you how many calories you've eaten?
Yeah, I guess. And, well, it's sort of a pedometer, I guess, is how they're marketing it. It is not out yet, but will be released soon. And more importantly, I can't wait until the Why Things version that will actually tweet after you have finished a meal saying that, boy, you must have ate a lot because you had 33,000 bites in that one meal.
Okay, so tonight when calories. I'm eating my wonderful roast, which I need to get out of the oven.
Nobody boasts about my roast.
Yeah, it may not be good now. I sort of forgot about it. Oops.
Somebody could set a timer.
I'll have to count my bites. And our last story, a guy in Texas, I believe it was, created a computer, minister to perform his nuptials. He and his fiancée, who is a school teacher, this guy is some kind of IT person, wanted to get married and he couldn't find a minister. So he created a computer simulacrum, and I'm not sure if it's like a, I don't think it was a hologram or anything, but it was essentially a computer program that asked them to state their intention to marry and say their vows and everything in front of a group of about 30 or 40 different people.
And supposedly it got ordained.
Supposedly. Not sure how this all worked, really. And, you know, the part of the service where it always said, you know, the ministers say, if anyone has any objections, please state them now, forever hold your peace, yada yada. Well, this minister said, a computerized minister said something like, if anyone has any objections, please keep them to yourself, because I don't want to hear about it, and I don't think anyone else does either. Or some such words to that effect.
Huh.
So, I guess it does prove that this guy has a sense of humor, at least.
I've never heard of anybody actually speaking up during that.
I never have either, although I gotta admit, when it happened at our wedding, I sort of had a fear that somebody might.
Yeah. Where were they? They could have saved me from all this anguish.
Oh, me too. Oh, my heart. Anyway.
This wonderful podcast that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly, episode
103.
If you want to check out the stories and potential articles for this podcast, you can check out the delicious.com/techaccess/103. And if you want to check out the Melting Pot Show on Mushroom FM from 7 to 10 p.m. on Sundays, please do that, as the other one in this podcast will actually be streaming music of some sort.
103. Oh, I don't have to say it that time.
No, not that time.
Oh.
And you can also find the archive of previous shows to go back even as far as a year so that you can find out how horrible it was. And then compare it to now and find out that
but it's equally horrible. Improved. It has not improved one bit.
Hey.
So if you've got any comments, suggestions, tidbits, tricks, or other things to tell
tips,
us about,
corrections, complaints,
all that kind of thing, please email us or tweet us.
And no matter how often you complain, I'm still not going anywhere.
Me either.
We never get comments about you, just me.
Yeah. We got a comment in the PodTrack survey about me.
Oh, that's true.
This lady sounds bored. B-O-R-D, if I remember correctly.
Yes, misspelled bored.
Oy.
Doy.
Anyway.
But that's why we have to talk to each other on the podcast, because we're bored with each other.
Absolutely.
The worse your life, the better we sound, I guess.
Yeah, I guess with Dick and Leo, we're the same way.
We're right in there with our sporks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we will wrap this up by just saying bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.